Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome all the folks in here this morning that's joining us here. Sit back, relax, lean back, get your second or third cup of coffee and get you another jelly and biscuit or sausage and biscuit or something, and be ready to enjoy this next hour we've got coming up. I've got three young ladies here with me this morning, and I think I've seen all of them before one time or other. We're here this morning. This is National FFA Week, and we're going to be talking about that a little bit. And we've got some stuff going on over at school, and we've got a couple of other announcements. And we'll get into all that just a little bit later, but we'd like to take this opportunity, as we said, to once again invite you to come join us here at the Clay County Corner. We're coming to you live and in living color on your radio dial, which happens to be WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country, as we do each Thursday morning here at 9 o'clock in the morning, and then we'd have a rebroadcast this evening at 6 o'clock if you want to go home and listen to it, girls, or you can check on the don't listen to yourselves. You might learn something. Isn't that the way you practice a speech? You speak, and then you listen to it, and so you can kind of use it that way. But they're here with us, and we'll let them introduce themselves here in a minute. And Mr. Matt Craighead has brought them up this morning. He's in a different role this year. Used to be, I'd get him on all the time, especially when I'd get in the pinch and need somebody. He and I could always talk forever when he was with the soil conservation folks, and he's now the head farmer over at the high school. I guess we'd call him that. And hadn't had time to talk to him, see how he likes his new shift. We may do that for a few minutes if these girls run out of anything to say. But before we get started, we want to thank everyone that makes this show possible here each Thursday morning, and that is the Three Star Committee here, and also the Chamber of Commerce, and especially all of the local merchants and folks that sponsor here that help make this possible for us each Thursday morning. And we hope that we'll have something to say today that you'll be interested in. And like I said, we've got three young leaders that hopefully, if we keep them in Clay County, when they get through with their graduate and postgraduate work and all those things, that'll become leaders here in the county. And along that line, while we're on our little soapbox right now, and I know we have two young ladies back here now in the agriculture department here at the UT part with the 4-H and with the Extension Service. Two very, very hardworking, intelligent young ladies, and we're glad anytime we can get our youngsters coming back, because some of the folks here in this county are getting a little bit older, and we're grateful that we have this. Hopefully this will be about the third or fourth generation since I came back here that's coming through, and hopefully we can keep some of those folks here with us. But now I'll step down off my soapbox for just a minute, and we'll work in a few words from our sponsors, come back, and I got a couple of announcements to make, and then we'll let these young ladies introduce themselves again, and we'll talk to them and just exactly what's going on with National FFA Week. We'll be right back in a minute.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. It's great to be here this morning. A nice sunshiny day out here. It was up about 70 degrees here yesterday, and it's going to get fairly warm today, so we hope everyone will get out and enjoy themselves. But before we get into our guest, I have got a couple of announcements to make, and that, of course, to do with our basketball here. Tonight, the boys' basketball team at 6 p.m., we'll be playing Pickett County for the district championship, and that'll begin at 6. And then I believe Friday night, the girls will be playing in the first round of the region tournament against an opponent out of the other district, and I'm not exactly sure who that was. I didn't have time to look it up. And let's see, I've got another little thing here. The other day, and I know Richard Accurso sent me this, and I'm going to read it again. Clay County veterans or family members normally seek assistance from Bob Cole, Clay County Veterans Service Officer, may speak directly to an accredited service officer on March the 2nd, 2021. I know we've read this before, and he's over at the Clay County Church of Christ from 10 to 2 p.m., it's March the 2nd, I think, is the next time he's coming back. And the reason why Mr. Cole's not done it, he had been suffering some medical problems, been a little bit under the weather, but he is recuperating, and hopefully he'll be back on the regular schedule up here with the veterans as soon as that's physically possible. And now with that, I've got another great announcement to make, and that is that we announced last week that the Cumberland Historic Byway is now on the National Roads Program, which is a big deal. If you are a tourist and you like to get out and take drives, and you go online and check, you go on there and you'll look for the Great American Roads, and you will see places like the Great River Road, the Natchez Trace Parkway, and all those things. And we now have a designation of the Cumberland Historic Byway, which starts or ends here in its at Clay County in Salina, and there are a couple of points of origin here, and one of those being this historic building that we're in this morning, the Clay County Courthouse, with its historic significance, with, you know, being the home courthouse of Cordell Hull and a few of those things, and also with the convergence of the Cumberland and the Obie River. And the other end of it goes all the way up to Cumberland Gap, which is over in East Tennessee, which if you've never taken that drive, it's, I think, 100, and I've got there's a website for this that we've had up. We started working on this about 2011, I believe, and it kind of got put on the back burner, and then it got brought back forward this year. And going through all this process, I think we finally found out that they only designate one of these roads about at this point in time, maybe once every 8 or 10 years. So we were extremely lucky that we were able to get it in this year. And this, like I said, there's a website, and it's just CumberlandHistoricByway.com. It's one we created a long time ago that's going to get updated with a whole lot more information. It's got a road map on there. Like I said, it starts here in Salina. It goes Highway 52 over to Livingston, up to Birdstown, then over to Fentress County on Highway 52, on up through there, through the historic old town of Rugby, and then it goes and up into East Tennessee and ends all the way up in, I believe, Unicoi County. So I know some of these young ladies may have heard of Lincoln Memorial University, which is located up in that area. I think we've got some folks in this area that have been to school up there, and I think they've got a medical school there, and there's a whole bunch of things, but it's a beautiful place. It's nearly as pretty as it is here in Clay County. And we're hoping that, you know, when folks go on there and look and see this and see all the historic facts that go along with it, we said, like people like Cordell Hull, people like Sergeant York, our World War I hero from this area, and that they want to get out and drive this road. But with that, I guess, good morning, ladies.
Good morning. Morning.
You all want to introduce yourselves again?
We can. I'm Ellen McLaren, the Clay County FFA chapter president and the Middle Tennessee FFA regional reporter.
I'm Kelly Riddle. I'm the Clay County secretary.
I'm Sunny Holloway. I'm the Clay County vice president.
Okay. Now, what are we here to talk about this morning?
A couple of things. We're going to talk about it being National FFA Week, some of the contests we have coming up, and some of the big things we've had happen for our chapter.
Okay, now, how about a history of FFA?
It was founded in 1928 in Kansas City, Missouri. From there, it went on to develop and grow as the organization. The first national convention had 33 delegates. And it now has over 700,000 members currently across the nation.
Okay, and when did you say it was first started?
1928.
You know, I've got a feeling that we may have had here in Clay County an original, or pretty close to an original FFA group here. Because I can't remember all this, but I do know that Mr. E.W. Fox, he was the agriculture teacher here at Clay County School in a couple of different sessions from sometime in the 1930s, I know, all the way up to about 1961. So I know, and we had FFA then, and I know it's not quite like it was then, but there used to be an FFA basketball league where the FFA, the farmers got to play basketball. And this was usually, you know, made up of the young men who weren't quite the level of varsity basketball players. But now if it came up to a real head-to-head competition against someone, and they had a ball game like on a Wednesday or a Thursday night or something, I know Mr. Fox might go out and get a couple of his senior FFA members that might have been varsity members to play on his FFA basketball team, because he took it pretty serious. He liked to be the champion of that thing. But, you know, that's kind of throwing something. That's many, many, many years ago. And I, like I said, I know our high school was here back at that period of time. And I do know that I don't know the historical stuff, I don't know where it's still in existence somewhere or another, that might show exactly where the first FFA club was started here at school. But it's been around for a long, long time, and looked like it's progressed pretty good. Now, I've interrupted you. Go back, Ella.
We've actually had three past state officers from Clay County, and I am planning on running for state office this following summer. So, and then, of course, as we go into this week in FFA week, it's a national ordeal that FFA chapters across the nation get involved and participate in different events to not only get members involved, but probably show some non-members, hey, this is a really cool opportunity.
And there is a national website just for the National FFA Week, and I've got it pulled up here, and they've got all kinds of things on there where you can donate money. Alumni members can come in and check in, buy you a T-shirt. What else you got on the history there? How about the jacket?
The jacket, it was made, actually designed by Dr. Gus Linter, and it was adapted as official dress early on, I think, like 1930s, and then has progressed and has adapted to fit more often. But it hasn't changed that much since the original conception of the blue corduroy with the state and then chapter on the bottom underneath.
And the national emblem on there.
Yes.
Okay. Now, what would we like to talk about next? Ladies? Yeah, well, the next, whoever speaks next got to introduce, we've already introduced yourself. Miss Riddle, you got anything, or you want to kick it down to Sonny? Sonny, you'll need to move a little closer to the microphone. There you go.
I guess we can start on what we're going to be doing in our greenhouse. So we're going to start some hanging baskets, ferns, bed and flowers, vegetable plants. I think that'll go along with our high tunnel, too. And there's going to be over 50 varieties of plants and 50 colors.
In our high tunnel, we'll be growing 20 varieties of different vegetable plants for produce. We'll be growing tomatoes, okra, and squash. I was told that a common question was, what was the difference between crooked neck squash and straight neck squash?
I bet I know that. I bet one of them bent over or something.
Something like that. I think you're right.
What is a squash? Let me throw that at you. Is that like a pumpkin or something, or Mr. Craighead, is that something like a pumpkin, or?
Like all of them were family.
Something like that.
I enjoy that.
Our freshmen have been very involved this year. We have built 50 picnic tables, and right now we're working on building 100 chairs for a tiny house project on Arcot Road.
We may need to move Mr. Craighead over where you don't have to turn around and look at him when you want to ask a question.
That's beautiful.
Now that I've interrupted you, let's take a little short break and come back. Let them all gather up their information and get ready. We'll be right back.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed. And you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers their member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. Mr. Craighead just jumped back like we were on camera here. He was leaning over here talking to us. Ladies, okay, now, where are we going next?
We can talk about this year's officer team. This year's officer team is comprised of me as the president, with two vice presidents, Sonny Holloway and Cherokee Upton, our secretary, Kaylee Riddle, our treasurer, Will Dawson, and our reporter is Allie Ashley, with the advisors being Matthew and Amanda Crackett.
Okay, now can I ask all three of y'all a question? Are y'all actually associated with a farm somewhere? Are you actually farm children, or maybe have a grandpa where you're going to like raise a garden? And do you still keep your project books and have to have things like that where you have to raise a little corn patch or keep up with what amount of time and all those kind of things?
I am. I'm active on my family's eighth-generation cattle farm, and that's an SSA. It's not a project book. It's your SAE. And that can be broken up based on what you come from. And even if you don't come from the background, you can get involved in SAE through the greenhouses at school.
Okay. You know, I know at that time I think I took this a year in high school or something, you had to keep the project book. Like if you were going to get you a fattening hog, you had to keep up with everything you fed, all the money you put in it. And I'm sure it's still the same way on that type of thing. I think we just got some note writing over there. We can shift over to Sonny or Ms. Riddle here for a second.
I wouldn't necessarily say our kids, because I don't live on a farm, but I do help my uncle with his chicken houses.
That would very much qualify. Now let's talk about that just exactly what do you do there?
I don't walk the chickens, but we have people who walk the chickens, which that's not putting them on a leash and walking them down the chicken houses or anything like that. You just make sure there's not any dead birds or anything. But what I do is I just put the eggs in the little carton things and clean.
So is this an egg farm?
Uh-huh.
Okay, now, let's talk about an egg farm just a little bit. How do you have to dress when you go into an egg barn?
I wear scrub pants and a T-shirt and, like, a sweatshirt, because we have certain stuff we have to wear. Like, it's a biosecure place. They got the shower in, put clothes that they have on.
I think they sometimes they look like some of the folks you see on TV fighting the virus, don't you, with the clothes they've got on.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that is because that, you know, like I said, this is a biosphere clean place mm-hmm. because a virus there could pretty much wipe out a chicken farmer pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, what about gathering the eggs over there at the chicken, at the egg farm? You get to go around your basket and gather eggs, or?
No. There's, like, conveyor belts that bring them down.
So the chickens lay on the conveyor belt, and it brings them down to a common place, and
mm-hmm.
you ever grade any chicken eggs?
I don't.
Do they have to grade them, or do they?
Yes.
According to what?
Good question. I'm not.
Size, color?
Yeah.
How big they are. Is there a size limit on an egg? Mr. Craighead, you might answer that loudly.
Well, I know one thing they run into is if they have double yolk eggs, they have to discard those. And then they'll also grade them based on size. You know, they'll get some oddballs that'll be too small or too large. They have to grade those. But I think for the most part, the eggs they're getting now will actually make it on to production. And I think Haley's going to explain now what these eggs are actually used for.
Okay, but before we do that, there's always something you've heard about. A double yolk egg would produce maybe a deformed chicken or something. Is there any truth to that?
I don't think so.
You know, that's something we've always heard. You know,
we can always raise one and find out.
Well, kind of hatch one and see, but that'd be kind of cruel if it were true, though, wouldn't it? So we won't do that. Okay, go ahead, girl.
Well, the eggs that we have aren't, like, table eggs. They're not the, like, eggs you would eat, but they go to, like, meat farms and stuff. So we grow, like, chicken.
Okay, so these eggs are not, are they for consumption? They're not
no.
for consumption, are they?
No.
That's a different type of egg farming for consumption eggs.
Yeah.
These are eggs to hatch and raise more chickens.
Yes.
Which I guess is a big distinction. Mr. Craighead, do you know of any places in here where we have production egg farms?
Actually, last year, Caleb Rich opened up our first table egg farm that I know of in the county, and he is actually raising organic pastured table eggs for a company out of Georgia, I believe, and you can find those at most Walmarts and grocery stores like that now that's carrying that kind of product. And then, of course, another real popular thing is most grandparents or most people that's out in the country here will have a few backyard chickens, and you'll occasionally see the grandkid or the child that has some table eggs for sale by the dozen locally, so that's always been a fun pastime. And I also know they brought back the chick chain program at 4-H last year, so I expect that we'll see more of that surface in the future.
Yeah, I know when we have our farmer's market at it, we have, I know, maybe one or two egg farmers here that bring their eggs out for sale. And let me ask you this, do the folks that are raising these for the brooders, do they actually maybe sell some of their eggs? I think they sell some of their eggs occasionally to the public, don't they?
No, they don't sell any to the public because the genetics on those chickens are very tightly kept, so they don't like to let any of those get out of their hands.
Okay, that is also something that needs to great to clear up. And all right, Sonny, what have you got for us now?
Our farm isn't active right now. We don't have any animals or anything on it, but I do raise a small garden, and I work at the lumber company right down the road.
Yeah, I do know that, and I think Matt may correct me on this, but I think that our poultry industry here in Clay County may be maybe the number three leading in the state of Tennessee for the counties. I think I've heard that thrown out from somewhere or another, which makes this poultry industry here a very, very big industry. And, of course, we don't have the processing plant nearby, but that processing plant up in Albany, Kentucky provides I don't know how many dozens of jobs for folks here in Clay County that work up there in that industry. So the poultry industry is a big, big business here in Clay County. Okay. Now, girls, what we got here? I know you got a big long notebook here. Hold on just a minute, folks. They're changing the page.
Okay. So this week is our FFA week, so I'm going to highlight some of the things we're doing throughout the week at the high school. One of the things we're doing is
the Mountain of Food Drive, and we're collaborating with SCLA, SCCLA, and 4-H to do this. And so it's like a canned food drive. And then every day we have a daily ag trivia and jokes. Miss Tia tells the joke, and I would say that her telling the joke is more funny than the joke itself, because she tries to not laugh about it.
One thing about the Mountain Food Drive is it's different from a traditional food drive, isn't it, that we pile the food up in a spot where everyone can see it to encourage other people to bring more food. We're doing a teacher appreciation breakfast. We actually did that this morning. We got them biscuits from Dairy Queen. We're also doing an emblem scavenger hunt, and we've hid emblems around the school today. Allie Ashley, our reporter, and the other Vice President Cherokee Upton, they were hiding emblems as we left to come here. We're also doing a school board appreciation gift.
Which is?
A surprise.
You see what I'm dealing with, folks? Hey, now, you talk, one of my favorite words are trivia. Trivia and puns. If you ever look at my Facebook site, you'll see I try to copy every pun that I can find anywhere. Now, along the line of poultry thing, why do birds fly all the time?
Worm.
Huh?
Worm.
It's too far to walk. And then,
Thomas, I've got this morning's joke. We did it in appreciation of Miss Tia being a previous math teacher. My mind just went blank here. What's a cow's favorite kind of math?
What?
Calculus.
All right, that's pretty good. And then the other one was the old, why did the chicken cross the road? The common answer is?
Because Kaylee was looking for an egg.
To get to the other side. But there's another reason. The chicken wanted to prove to the possum that it could be done. Because what happens to most possums that cross the road?
Roadkill.
They don't make it, do they? So he had to prove to the possum that it was possible. Okay, let's see. Time for a little break. Before we do that, though, got a whole bunch of birthdays today. We weren't on last week, but I think most of these are for this week, or maybe a couple of them the week before. And remind everyone that 931-243-5574 will get you a Dairy Queen gift card that's worth, I believe, about $25 to go over and get you one of their deluxe birthday cakes. So if you if we call off a name, if they're your neighbor or something or other, and they might not be listening, we hope everyone's listening that calls in, but if they're not, you know, make sure they know this. I think we've got a couple, three that haven't been picked up yet. So going down through, I think there's a couple, maybe a couple from, may have been last week, Coretta Denton. Miss Coretta out in the Pine Hill area celebrated her birthday on the 14th, and Mr. Stacy Brown also out in that area. And then looking down through, in no particular order here, we have Miss Navia Pitcock, and this is called in by her great-grandparents to wish her a happy birthday on the 23rd, which is going to be her ninth birthday. And then we'd like to wish Miss Loretta Sue Smith a happy birthday, and this comes from Rinaldo, her father, grandfather, I mean, all of these folks would like to wish her a happy birthday. The entire family. We had a whole big list of names there wanted to wish her a happy birthday, and I didn't hardly get them all, but it sounds like most of the whole family want to wish her a happy birthday, and we'll wish her one also. And then also from the same family, Raylan Tooley celebrated a birthday on the 20th. And then Miss Brittany Short, her grandfather called in to wish her a happy birthday. And then I get one of my former classmates, and I'm not going to tell how old we are, celebrated a birthday on the 23rd. And then Mr. Alan Scott on the 21st. His sister called that one in. And so, and if you want to make that same call and get their name on the list, remember, 931-243-5574. And with that, we'll be back just in a few minutes. And toward the end of the show, we'll use our highly sophisticated, non-computerized selection system to pick out a winner, and then go over to the clay chamber and pick up their certificate over there. And with that, we'll be back just in a minute.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
We're back. I can't finish yet. Welcome back, everyone. I still have all three of my young ladies here. And are we going to kind of change the format a little bit for a minute, or?
The last thing we really want to hit on is that this year we are an affiliated chapter, meaning every student with an I-class is an FFA member. Their FFA dues are paid by the State FFA Alumni Association, where we have currently 155 members for this school year.
Let me ask you this, too. How far in the education process or can you be associated with the Future Farmers?
If you have the availability, and you can start at middle school in some chapters. At our chapter, it starts out as a freshman. You can get involved with your ag science class and then just keep getting involved with ag classes after that.
Is there anything on the post-secondary level for FFA?
There's collegiate FFA, and then that just depends on where you go if that's available.
Okay, and I think Tennessee Tech, I believe they have an FFA program over at Tennessee, and I know the University of Tennessee does, being a land-grant college. What is a land-grant college, girls?
I just like...
Mr. Craggett, I bet he knows.
Land-grant colleges was... So the USDA Ag Department back about 100 years ago decided that we needed to throw some money at the rural areas to try to get the availability of education for the rural farmers. So they come up with a land-grant college program. And basically what that did was provide funding to get colleges implemented out into rural areas like Cookeville or Knoxville or places that traditionally did not have a large post-secondary education system. And that had a major influence on the college system that we see today and the availability of, you know, multiple colleges relatively close to somewhere like Salina.
Okay, if you look and you look at the history of most of the state colleges in all states that were in existence, and I think they all worked at maybe Hawaii and Alaska then, their state college, like he said, the University of Tennessee, the University of Kentucky, Tennessee Tech, Middle Tennessee, all of those schools were land-grant colleges. And, of course, a whole lot of them started out as teachers' college. I know that Middle Tennessee did. And, of course, Tennessee Tech was a school for mechanical engineering and things like that, basically from the beginning, that type of thing. But those were the major things, you know, working with farm equipment, things like that, and providing teachers for the rural area. From that, they are now, most of them are major universities and the major universities. So you'll see, like, on the history sometimes of a football game or something, they'll say, you know, the University of Alabama was a land-grant college started in such and such time, and that's where that came from the Land-Grant Act. Okay, now.
Hi, Thomas. I'm going to jump in here and flip the script just a little bit, and I'm going to ask these girls some interview questions, and these are unprompted, so it may take them a second to gather their thoughts, but I have confidence that they can do it, and we might even flip the script and ask you a few questions, Thomas.
Well, okay. I'll tell you the truth or a lie one the other.
So, to start off with, I'm going to throw a couple of facts out. So, the farming community today makes up less than 2% of the American population. So all the food that we depend on comes from less than 2% of that population. And that being said, the average American today is 3 to 4 generations removed from the farm. So the average person in the United States can remember their grandparents or their great-grandparents having a farm. So that would be their connection to the farm. And I'm sitting here looking at these three young ladies here, and I know that one of them grew up on and actually lives on a farm, and the other two did not. And kind of following that trend, they have either an uncle or a grandparent that farms or was involved in an agriculture business. So the question that I'm going to pose to Kaylee and Sonny is, what got you interested or involved in FFA and agriculture since you did not grow up on a farm?
I would say that my cousin did, because at the beginning of high school, I was completely against the fact of, like, joining an FFA, and he's like, oh, do it, you'll have fun. Come on, you'll have fun. And I finally cracked, like, down and joined. And I ended up having, like, lots of fun doing competitions, being out in the greenhouse. But I would say that my cousin was the one who got me to do it.
My great-grandma's been a big influence in my life. She's very, Wilma, she's very much a flower person, and I've always loved flowers. And so as a freshman, I had paid my dues, and I didn't really want to not do anything with the club, considering I had paid for it. And so I asked Miss Beth, I said, Miss Beth, what competitions do you live? She said, floriculture. And I love flowers, and so me and Kaylee actually did floriculture. I think she told us we were the first floriculture team to ever come from Clay County. And so we didn't really know what we were doing, but it was a bunch of fun, and I decided I really liked it.
Well, now, along that line, I could throw in there on the other side, your great-great-grandpa McLaren.
Yes.
I actually worked on his farm when I was a youngster.
Oh, really?
He was a member of the McLaren family that had farms basically from the bottom of the Walker Hill all the way nearly to Moss. So you have that side of the Walker, which was your great-grandpa Walker married to Emma McLaren. And hey, that puts you in my family, golly.
All right, and the next question I'm going to ask, and this one is going to be for Ella. So, Ella, so you grew up on an active beef farm and went on to join FFA. So why did you join FFA?
I remember my parents taking me to Farm Bureau events, and I would be sitting there bored out of my mind until I would see these blue jackets on stage. Now, at the time, I didn't really understand what it meant, but as I got older, I just realized the impact they had at that level, and I just got to see them, and that's who I wanted to be, and I wanted to have that impact. So fourth grade, I joined 4-H, and then from there went on to join FFA, where I've been active ever since, and it's one of my favorite things I've been involved in.
You know, there's a special feeling to sticking your hands down in dirt and covering up a seed and watching that seed grow into something that provides food for people, isn't it?
Now, Thomas, I'm going to ask you a question. Did you grow up on a farm?
Well, it was a very, very small farm. I don't know, we had very little tenable land. But I grew out in the middle of this McLaren farm area there. And so since we didn't have a farm, I was available labor for all of my uncles and my grandfather, Harlan McLaren, suffered a heart problem when he was, in his maybe 40s or something. And my brothers, I have three brothers, and we kind of helped him tend the farm, help him with raising his tobacco and things like that. And I know he was a pretty good teacher because he didn't put up with anything that just wasn't nearly perfect in every way. But growing tobacco, back when we set tobacco out with wooden pegs, and you're going up as a farm chicken. Then we've got the equipment, you know, they got tractors instead of mules and everything, and I thought, golly, how lucky we're going to be. We have a tobacco setter when it comes time to set tobacco out. Well, guess how many left-handed children were in that entire family that could feed a tobacco setter from the left-hand side? One. Me. So it didn't lower my responsibility. It actually increased it. But, you know, like I said, you do grow up. And another little thing, I don't know, not saying a whole lot, but I think I still remember how to gear up the old mule to hook the plow behind her. And I don't know what that skill's useful for. Sonny's over there wanting to say something.
I have a question for you. How many tobacco worms do you think you picked off in your whole lifetime?
Oh, there's nothing more fun than getting one of those great big old juicy tobacco worms and slam him into the ground and watch him just splatter everywhere. But that was part of it. You know, and in those days, when you're a tobacco farmer here, now tobacco farming is it's an industrialized thing with lots of people involved in it, and it's the way it's set up now. I believe they do contract personally with the tobacco companies. But in the days when I was growing up, each tobacco farmer was allotted a certain amount of land, acreage, to grow as much tobacco as he could. So if a tobacco leaf fell off, it better not hit the ground, or Grandpa would probably hit me with his walking cane to make sure that it hit the ground, because you saved every leaf off of every plant to make sure you could you know, have just as much production off of as least amount of ground as possible.
So, Thomas, was you active in FFA when you was in high school?
No, I wouldn't. I did take agriculture the first year, and then after that, I kind of settled in on all the way through. My plan was to go to college sometime or other and get through that, and I kind of planned on actually majored in I know in business management for a long time, then changed over to social studies. And so I taught social studies and actually just about everything we had in the high school at one time or other. But I still was always, you know, nearby the farm and helped out on things like that all the way up until I still can't go out there once in a while if I need to. I know which end of the gooseneck hole to pick up and things like that.
All right, Thomas, we're going to switch gears here, and I just want to give credit to all of our ag students this year. Of course, with COVID, that's made it very challenging times, and we've historically had a very active FFA chapter that would compete in many contests, and due to COVID so far, you know, we've only had one contest that we've really been able to compete in, and then we had Miss Allie actually competed in the District Creed contest this past week, which was held virtually, and she did a really good job at that. But in the near future, between now and when school lets out, we're going to have several opportunities to compete in some contests. We've got Miss Sonny Holloway is going to be doing her prepared speaking contest, and Kaylee Riddle is going to be doing the job interview contest, and Ella McLaren is going to be doing the extemporaneous speaking contest. And then on top of that, we've got the Envirothon coming up here pretty soon. They're going to hold it virtually this year in some format. And then in a couple of weeks, we've got the Ag Mechanics Contest, which is going to open up where that the students get to do about 13 different hands-on activities, ranging from board cutting all the way up to arc welding. And then combined with that, we've got the greenhouse, which we should get some plants in today. We're going to start seeds today when we get back to school, so that's going to be really active. So all that being said, I want to ask each one of these girls what they are most looking forward to doing this spring and why.
Like I said, I'm a flower person. I'm looking forward to the greenhouse. I always love doing the greenhouse every year.
Well, now that might be just exactly what you enjoy doing in the greenhouse. Doing the greenhouse. What does that involve? On a busy day, what might all you get involved in?
I just like messing with plants. I mean, watering them or moving them between pots or whatever needs to be done.
Okay, now do you have to go by there? Do you have to check those plants to see maybe if you've got a diseased plant or something in there that you need to weed out?
Yeah, that's kind of important. We don't want the whole greenhouse to be taken out because of a pest or a fungus.
So if it happens, whose fault is it?
I hope not mine, but I'm going to be on the watch. If I miss it, I might catch the blame.
If you miss it, it wasn't your fault.
Well, I didn't say that, but...
Okay.
I would say I'm most excited for the upcoming competitions, especially the job interview. Hope at least it won't be like last year. Last year, I was a little late, and I keep books for the girls' basketball team. So first half of the game, I got to sit there in my corduroy jacket and keep books. Pretty fun. And I'm excited for the Ag Mechanics competition because me and Sonny are actually going to do land leveling together. We've never done it before, but we're going to try.
Well, you know, along that line, of course, I've seen you walk through the gym every once in a while. And I think maybe that you ought to start wearing your blue jacket some of the times when you, instead of your real dressy, put your blue jacket on sometimes.
I've done it before.
Okay. All right. I just hadn't seen that part. Okay. Now, have we got all that covered now?
I would have to say I am most looking forward to either the exempt competition or running for state office later this summer.
Okay. Now, I think when I look through the various sites for the high school over there, I run across things from the Future Business Leaders of America Cliff. Are you girls maybe involved in that too, maybe?
I am.
I also am.
And have you ever accomplished any major milestones there?
I have. I went on to compete at nationals. I got the National Community Service Award, and then I've got third the past 2 years, minus last year with the COVID, and then this year I got first for ag business in the region.
How about Sonny?
What was the first test that we did? Was that for region or district?
Region.
I got second in region for law and business test, I think. I do believe it was the law and business test.
See, all right, now, we've hit upon something there, haven't we? Farming is what?
A business.
A business, haven't we? And so many folks, you know, they don't see it. A lot of folks don't see it that way. And I know Mr. Craig had came across with something there. 2% are now feeding 100% everybody. And, you know, we sometimes the American farmer, the little farmer, most of them have been squeezed out of it, but there are still a few that are still doing it a whole lot, not because they're going to become millionaires or anything, because, like I said, they enjoy getting their hands in the dirt and watching things grow. And I think probably you girls, no matter where you go or what you do, you're going to have a raised garden out in the yard, or you're going to have a farm or something that you can get out and stick your feet in, that type of thing. But now, let's turn it over the other way. Mr. Craighead, why in the world are you doing what you're doing among all your various enterprises?
So, of course, you know, I've made some big changes since I was on the radio station with you last time. Of course, last time I was here, I worked for our Soil Conservation District, and I had the opportunity to do that for 8 years, and really enjoyed that job. And then last year, I had the opportunity to transition into agriculture education teacher. And, of course, I grew up in a family of teachers. I can rattle off a list from grandparents to my mother to aunts and everywhere in between of teachers. So I grew up knowing that I was never going to be a teacher. That was what I had decided. And I also grew up knowing that I was never going to go to college. So with that being said, today I am teaching high school agriculture and currently getting my master's degree. So everything that you think you know when you're in high school is subject to change. Since I've transitioned into this job, I've realized that in my previous job, you know, education was the biggest business that I was in. Only I did it on an adult level. I did somewhere between 300 and 400 individual farm plans during my career there. And through that process, I worked with each farmer and helped them learn about the environment and about their agriculture operation. So, you know, 300 or 400 people over an 8-year period is pretty good. And then I've got to transition into this role of an ag teacher. And, you know, we said right there that 155 FFA members, every one of those will have either myself or my wife, Miss Amanda, who is our other agriculture advisor, in class. So, you know, each year we're going to get to have influence on and help these children find, you know, a home in agriculture or a home wherever they want to be. And, you know, Thomas, I really didn't even want to talk, because the reason we're here today is not because of me, but it's because of
these young individuals that have such a bright future that we have here.
Well, you know, that's one of the reasons why I went back and talked about Mr. E.W. Fox to let, you know, I'm sure they'd never heard of his name before, but, you know, he came here, and I think he actually was educated at maybe the University of Nebraska or somewhere or another, which it was, you know, totally unusual for that amount of time, but and had it here for years and years. And I know it's of course agriculture has changed over the years. But hey, you're still called farmers, aren't you? You're still called farmers. And you know, so many of the things like Matthew talks about, some of the things that have been verified through various kinds of test plots, various types of tests, chemical tests on plants and things like that. And I think you know a whole lot of science have proved things that their fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers learned to do by trial and error were the exact right thing to do that kind of still shows up today, that have a lot of plant mutations and things like that. You know, if you're growing tobacco, you're still growing basically the same thing that may not be what we're growing now, maybe more hardy, husky. We may be getting more ears of corn off of that and that type of thing. But, you know, it's something, I guess, as an old history teacher, one of the first things that the Pilgrims learned was how to fertilize their corn, wasn't it? They still teach that where they took and they would put the parts of the fish down in the hill when they put the grain of corn down as a fertilizer.
Actually, Thomas, the first thing that they would have had to learn is what corn was, because until they come to America, they had never seen corn, because corn come from the Native Americans that was here.
Right, the maize that was here. And when we, you know, biblical times, we hear about corn. At one time, I guess corn was just a generic term for any kind of grain, wasn't it, in India?
Well, actually, the history of corn up until about the 1600s, it was a plant called teosinte. And it looked more similar to what we know of as wheat today than corn. And in the last about 600 years, starting with the Native Americans and then transitioning into the European farmers, they bred up what we now know of as corn.
All righty. I guess we're going to have to wrap up a little early tonight. I think they're going to cut us off short this afternoon when they do the rebroadcast at 5 this afternoon because of basketball game. So I guess if you reach in there and don't look now, don't peek, and pull me out a number, and it looks like Raylan Tooley has won the birthday cake today. So come over by and pick that up, and I'll get your name over there. And with that, I guess, girl, that has been a pleasure, as always. I enjoy when you guys come by and join us. And like I said, this is the first time Matt's got to come by with this bunch and actually see how you all act when you get out in public. And it's been a pleasure having you here. And remind everyone, it'll be 5 o'clock this afternoon. And until that, I guess we could say we're going to shut the doors. This old barn here, we've got all the livestock put back up. And tell everyone that we hope you'll join us again next week. You're at the same time, same channel on WVFB FM 101.5. And good Lord willing, we'll all be back. But until then, I guess the last thing we've got to say is good day, Clay County. Thank you for being here with us.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kix Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.